lives. Thank you for all that you are, all that you've done, and all that you will yet do. And Father, once again, we ask that you would pour your Spirit out upon us and open our hearts and our minds and speak to us, Lord. I pray that you would work the way that only you can in our lives in a setting like this. It's you who speaks and teaches us and ministers to our hearts and our minds. And so whatever the need within each life tonight, Lord, whether it has anything to do with what I'm going to share, I pray that you would meet those needs and that you would breathe life and hope and encouragement to each one. I praise you, Lord. We ask all these things in the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. Amen. You can have a seat. And once again, it's just really nice to be here for me because I have, those lights are like super bright tonight. Somebody put a lot of stuff on this thing. Look like black ants, little dots all over. Anyway, it's nice to see your faces. Some of you, a lot of you, I don't know because I haven't been here in a while. And if you don't know me, my name is Karen and I'm married to Pastor Damien. And I'm supposed to be here more often, but I haven't been able to because I'm taking care of my parents, who, by the way, my mom said, "Have you told your ladies that your parents are going crazy?" I'll be sure and tell them that, Mom. She has a great sense of humor. So we have a lot of tears, but we also have a lot of laughs. So I know it's still November, but I wanted to take this opportunity to kind of give us a reminder and good perspective as we come into this Christmas season. And the way time goes now, it goes so fast, much faster than it used to. I don't understand how all that works because a minute is still a minute. It hasn't changed, but I think our lives are just so full. There's so much in them that we just go from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And I was out with my mom the other day, and because she does, have dementia, but it is funny because sometimes I can do the same thing. It's like, "Did we have Thanksgiving yet?" "Yes, we did. We're out here buying Christmas cards." Okay. So, but sometimes I can do that. "Was it Thanksgiving? Did I miss that?" And we don't want to miss Christmas. We don't want to get caught up in all of the stuff. So, every year when Christmas time rolls around, and again, it's rolling around earlier because it was even here before Halloween, Hallmark movie previews and things like that of what's coming up. But with Christmas comes expectations. Each one of us, whether we know it or not, whether we're aware of it or not, we have certain expectations of what this Christmas is going to be or supposed to be, the kind of Christmas that we want it to be. So, depending on our personality type, we might look at that and think, is it going to be, and our age, is it going to be a Norman Rockwell type of Christmas? And Norman Rockwell is a very realistic painter way back when. And I don't know if it was paint or sketching or whatever, but it looked like photographs. I mean, and it was just the perfect family with the tree and the whole thing, that kind of a thing. Or the Waltons, family Christmas. Will it be a Christmas like that? I want, little Bob and little Joe and Haas. That is not the Waltons, but whoever Mary Ellen and Sue Ellen and Peggy Sue and all those other Walton people. Is it, I want all my people at my table. And I want it to be all nice and everything. Or, in more modern terms, is it going to be the Facebook type of Christmas? You know what I mean by that when you see everybody's perfect family pictures on Facebook, and they look so wonderful, and they're just all, you know, they all look perfect and everything. However, we all know that it's not perfect, and that something could have taken place right before or directly after they snapped that picture. But what is your expectation for your Christmas and your family Christmas this year? Maybe you haven't thought about that. Maybe you think you don't have any. And usually we don't know until we get disappointed. And then we realize we had an expectation. What about the expectations of gifts? Because isn't Christmas time full of gifts? And we all have expectations, again, whether we know it or not. Will you get what you really, really want to get? Or will those that you give gifts to, all of your loved ones, will they have the reaction that you are expecting them to have? You know, especially as moms or grandmas, we want to get that perfect thing, and then when we see a little disappointment or not quite the, oh, this is the best gift I've ever gotten, you know, then we get a little disappointed with that because we had a certain expectation. I remember two specific disappointments that I had with gifts when I was a little girl. And this was, I was probably maybe second grade, and they had, this is really dating myself, but they had just kind of come out with shoe skates. Before that were the skates that you clipped on your shoes, you know, and kind of with the key and screwed them on. But these were actually shoe skates. You put your foot in there and laced them up. My sister and I really wanted these shoe skates, and we were just so excited to you know, get, you know, put them on our list, and we, you know, we knew our mom would probably get us those, and back then they only had two colors. White were girls and black were boys. And so one day my sister and I were wrestling on the floor in my parents' bedroom, and we looked under the bed, and there were the shoe skate boxes that she hadn't wrapped yet because it wasn't Christmas yet. And we were so excited. And of course we pulled them out, looked at them, and then we went, she got us black boys. Now, you know, I mean, now I don't even know that it matters, but back then, are you kidding me? If you wore boys' skates, that is just like, it's so disgusting and embarrassing. That was a big disappointment. And of course, we had to pretend that we were so happy knowing when we opened the black shoe skates. You know, that was bad. That was bad. And then the other one was, it might have been the year after that, I wanted a sewing machine. Now, you know, you're, what, third grade or fourth grade, you're not going to get a real sewing machine. But I was very excited because I got, it was called a Sew Big, and it was a little tiny machine. My grandmother, my dad's mother, was a seamstress. She could do that for a living. It was very good. Never taught me how to sew, but one time when she was over and I had my Sew Big because I couldn't figure out why my sewing wasn't working. Well, it was because my Sew Big didn't have a bobbin. Well, you can't really sew. I mean, you can sew, but, you know, it just pulls. So I was, those were two disappointments. Now, I've had others in my adult life that I will not share because that would be not nice. But we laugh about the black shoe skates and my Sew Big. But even as adults, we do have disappointments with gifts, don't we? Maybe we really wanted something specific. We wanted something meaningful. You know, women like meaningful gifts, so hoping that someone you love gets you something that means something, or your child or grandchild makes you something that you may not even know what it is, but they made it for you. It means something. And instead, you get a toaster or a dish towel or something like that. And you're a little disappointed. I mean, if we're honest, you're going to be disappointed, right? Have you ever been disappointed with a gift? Okay, we all have had these disappointments. Or giving a gift. Sometimes you really want to get that person you love, whether it's a husband or a child or an adult child or grandchild or whatever, you want to get them that gift and you really think this is going to be it, and then they're not very thankful or grateful or they're disappointed or whatever, and it disappoints you too. So, and then we also have expectations with what the Christmas day is going to look like, or Christmas Eve, or whenever we get together with family and have those gatherings and meals and things like that, don't we? Again, the Waltons or whoever it might be. But then there's disappointments because somebody didn't want to come, somebody didn't show up, or somebody threw a fit. We've probably had a Christmas or two with somebody throwing a fit and walking, huffing and puffing out of the room or whatever. You know, those are disappointing times. We've expected this. This is supposed to be a nice day. It's supposed to be a grateful day. We're supposed to honor the Lord and the family and the whole thing. And it never quite turns out the way that we expect it. I think that most of you would agree with me. I've certainly had more than I want to say of disappointments because of my expectations. Now, as Christians, we know that Christmas is a celebration of God's most precious gift to us, the gift of His Son, the gift of salvation, Jesus, who was born in that manger, and who was given to us to bring light, to bring hope, to bring salvation, forgiveness to the world. We know, as Christian people, I didn't know that growing up. I didn't know Christmas had anything to do with God or Jesus. I didn't know who they were. It was just Santa Claus was all I knew. But once I came to know the Lord, it was like, wow, okay, this is what this represents. And I personally tried to make it that for my family, where, you know, Santa Claus, no stockings, no, I mean, just nothing, banish them all, because this is, you know, a holiday for the Lord and blah, 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 blah. And I tried to make it as spiritual as I could. I didn't want any distractions. But even with that, and no matter how you look at Christmas or celebrate Christmas, or how much you love the Lord, we can struggle with keeping Jesus first and keeping Jesus the reason for the season, with all of the festivities of the season that are beautiful. The decorations, the lights, we all go out and look at the lights. They're fun to look at. They're pretty. The different decorations, the different trees, all of that. It's nice to enjoy, but we can get our eyes off of the main reason pretty quickly. And we can get busy with shopping and wrapping and buying gifts and baking and this and that and all that. I don't have to tell you, you know that. But we can get our expectations of Christmas way out of whack for what it's intended to be and how we celebrate it and what we want for our family. Now, I've had a friend for 30 years, and she's always kept Christmas in balance. And I always admired her for that. Now, 30 years ago, and I was still a fairly new Christian, I wondered about how she did this. Was it the way she was raised? Was it her personality? What was it? And I think it was probably both. And she was, you know, she had more years in the Lord than I did. But I did admire her for that, but I scratched my head over it too, and to be honest, I felt a little sorry for her kids, because it was not like what I was used to, and I had in my mind, changed it from a pagan thing to a Christ-centered celebration. I remember one year, early on, she gave me a Christmas gift, which was a simple little, it was almost like a wood, but paper-thin wood little ornament it was from like an orphanage ministry that she had donated the money she would have spent on a gift for me to them in my name. That's the kind of person she still is, and that's the way she celebrates, which I thought was wonderful, but at the same time I thought, wow, that's just weird, because, you know, people don't do that, you know? You think they're missing out on the packages and the ribbons and all of that kind of thing. But over the years, I've come to even more admire that and appreciate that in her. Because as we know, if every single Christmas tree, if every single gift, if every single decoration, if every single holiday beverage, if every single holiday baked good and candy, or even the music of Christmas was taken away, it would still be Christmas. And that's a reason to celebrate with absolutely no disappointment whatsoever. Now, we know this. We know this as Christians. I mean, we're sitting there saying, yes, that is right. That is the reason. I've known this, and I've taught this, and I've reminded the women year after year. I remind myself year after year, but why do I have to be reminded? Because I can get my expectations placed in the wrong things, in people, in events, instead of what Christmas time really is. And it's taken me a lifetime here to come to that place. And I will say that I am to the place now, but I don't know that I might flip back later. But right now, I am to the place with zero expectations concerning family and friends and what Christmas would involve, it would involve them, and also any kind of celebration or whatever, and therefore zero disappointment. Disappointment. Now, you don't really know, I should say I, because I don't want to put you in my category. I really didn't know this. Even though I knew all this, I didn't experience it all. I didn't know that I really knew until everything's taken away. And then all you have left is Jesus. You know, we don't know how we're going to react. It's like those martyrs, you know, you think, sometimes some of us will think, I could do that. I could let them burn me at the stake. I would stand. It's like Peter, you know? Though they all deny you, I won't. I won't. Well, you know what? You don't know until you're put in that place. And Peter was put in that place, wasn't he? And he denied the Lord. And we are all alike. Our overall theme verse this year is that there's no temptation that has overtaken us, but such as is common to man. So my family situation for many years has been a struggle, and a struggle on these kind of celebrations. So there's always been disappointment and expectations and disappointment and that kind of thing. And I'm not going to go into detail, but I am going to just say the last handful of years, there has been a lot of division within my family. There still is to this day. And completely out of my control. And with this time of year, for anyone with any kind of a loss, a separation, you know, whether it's a divorce or just a separation or a death or any any conflict, it's a harder time of year for everybody because the expectation of Christmas and what Christmas is and all the past Christmas memories and all of that kind of thing. But so for the past handful of Christmases, it's like, you know, I don't want to play. I'm not happy. I'm depressed. This is not what I want it to be. It's out of my control. I don't want that. So, you know, a few years ago, we just said, you know, no tree, no, we're not doing anything. And now to other people, that looks very sad and very, you know, you're screwed, you're a bah humbug or whatever. But to us, it was a good choice. And so the first year with the absolutely no visible sign of Christmas in our home other than our little nativity set that we have. And I'm not saying this for anybody to feel sorry for me, to get any pity or even any comment. I'm just telling you what the Lord did in my heart through this. And we sat there with no family, and there's no gifts, there's nothing. And it was probably the best Christmas ever because there's no distraction. And we sat there and thought, this feels so right and so good that we can worship the Lord and have a Christmas that isn't, there's no division, divided heart or mind or anything. There's no busyness. Zero. Who are you going to bake for? If I bake, I'll eat it, so I don't want to bake. You know? And there's no gift buying. There's no, you know, it was just like, this is great. So then, the next year comes along. Yeah, this is great. Let's do that again. So here we are. And I'm not saying that, you know, pulling out a violin and feel sorry for me. Not at all, because I would never have known that kind of peace and joy without it being taken away. Now, the Lord can give that back, and that's why I'm saying it's just, you know, for right now. But it's still Christmas, no matter what. So if you're alone because a husband left, you're alone because a loved one passed away, or you're alone because somebody's not speaking to you, or whatever it might be the best Christmas ever, and one more reason to praise the Lord. God's gift of His Son, Jesus, and His salvation is the best gift anyone could ever give. Any gift we could ever receive. And there is no disappointment, zero disappointment with that. And with that, and with this Christmas time, because we think of gifts, God gives us gifts. He gave us the gift of His Son, the gift of salvation, but He gives us so many gifts. He gives us the things that we need and then the blessings on top of that. The expectations that we have in people, the expectations we have in events, or what the idea of it should be, will leave us disappointed. Even if we have a perfectly wonderful family, it's not going to be perfectly wonderful because we're all humans. So there's going to be disappointment, but God never, ever, ever disappoints. He's never disappointed me. Everything He does is perfect, and it's right, and it's what is best. So whatever place you are in right now, remember that. Now, I'm going to go name a few very quickly of the true expectations of Christmas. We all can have, don't put expectations in people. Don't put it in family, don't put it in friends, don't put it in gifts or events or meals or whatever it might be. You put these expectations and these things that I'm going to read off, and you will not be disappointed. And these things are not just at Christmas. You know that, because his gifts continue all year long, every single day. So the first one, of course, is the greatest one, and that is salvation and redemption. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He will save his people from their sins. If we had that alone, that is reason to celebrate and absolutely no disappointment. We have access. I love that word, access. Through whom, because of Jesus, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. What a great expectation that is, with zero disappointment, that we have access to the throne of grace. Forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You can expect that. You can expect your sins to be forgiven and remembered no more. Intercession. Therefore, he, speaking of Jesus, is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Do you know that? Jesus himself, at the right hand of the Father, is interceding for you, praying for you. You may think, well, nobody prays for me, or my father, my mother prayed for me, they're gone, I miss those prayers, or my husband used to pray for me, or whatever it might be. Jesus himself is praying for you and for me. I can expect him to do that. Mercy and compassion. What a great expectation. Don't you need that? And we expect it from other people, and sometimes we don't get it. But Jesus gives us mercy and compassion. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He is ever merciful and lends. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. We can expect love and not be disappointed. We all need love. We all want love. And we expect those we love to love us back. But sometimes there's disappointment in that, but never, ever, ever in God. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness I have drawn you. And Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can expect grace. Don't you need grace from other people? You blow it, I blow it. I deserve to be punished, I deserve to be banished, I deserve whatever, but he gives grace. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. For by grace you have been saved. To each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And wisdom. We all need wisdom. We can expect God to give us wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. guidance. We need guidance. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He's in charge. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. There's no disappointment in that. Some other people can lead you astray, but he doesn't. We can expect good things. He has given us all things. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So no matter what this Christmas holds for you, if you put your expectations in the true meaning of Christmas, in God, in Christ, in these things that he gives us that we just talked about, you will not be disappointed at all. You can enjoy the beauty of this season. I do. I love hot apple cider with spice in it. I love the lights. I love to look at the trees. I love to just go out and watch other people shop and things like that. I mean, I love that. And it's okay. All those things, the gifts, everything is okay. But enjoy the birth of your Savior first and foremost, knowing that he will never, ever, ever disappoint you. And Father, we thank you and praise you for all that you've done and what this Christmas means, what it holds, what it represents. Lord, there is just so much to it. Your scriptures are full of the prophecies that told of Jesus' birth. And then your scriptures tell us of the events of his birth and his life and the salvation that you have brought and the forgiveness and how we receive those things and so much more. And we praise you and we thank you. And Father, I pray that for my sisters, that those who are in a hard place, whose spouse has left them, who they've lost a loved one, who there's conflict or division within their families, or it's just not the way they want it to be, I pray that you would come in and fill those empty places with yourself, your glory, your grace. And that this would be the best Christmas that each one has ever had with you. Praise you, Lord, that you can do this and so much more. Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.